I've really enjoyed switching the Sunday school hour. I think that's been a great blessing to those that have stood here and those who have been able to hear the men of the church. So one thing, though, it's kind of kept me on my toes to follow along to make sure that I'm remembering when it's my turn. And so I keep the list there in the front of my Bible. And so when I looked at it last week, and I said, oh, well, next week's my turn. What am I gonna teach on? Josiah had been learning about Nehemiah, so we talked about that a little bit. So I thought, well, we'll go into Nehemiah, because that was fresh on my mind. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. The book of Nehemiah receives its title from what's probably his author, although some people doubt that it was Nehemiah, but nonetheless, Nehemiah is primary, one of the men in the book. Nehemiah and Ezra are very much connected. So the author is sometimes listed, or the scribe is sometimes listed as uncertain. Nehemiah served as the official cupbearer of the Persian king Artaxerxes, position of great importance, influence in Near Eastern courts. The people of Nehemiah's time were in terrible condition. So we see here in this first three verses, some 150 years earlier, or thereabouts, Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon had invaded the land. They had carried away many of the people and enslaved them. The Jews had been looking for, longing for, wanting somebody, anybody who had a vision, who had the ability to restore their freedoms, to restore the land back to its former glory. I've preached from this book a number of times. There's quite a few passages that we could look at. We certainly won't have time to look at everything in the book of Nehemiah, not in one not in one sermon or one lesson. Certainly, I don't want to get started with a new series. Not at this time. But I do want us to go back to, I want us to go a few pages over to Nehemiah chapter 4. To go along with what we learn in chapter 1. What we learn there is that the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. If we go to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish with which are buried? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." So if I were to put a title on this, I would call this message, "A Mind to Work." And I know we're not Israel, and I know that we're not, that this passage is about the people of Israel, the Jewish people, a specific people in a specific time, and it's not about us here and now. But there are some parallels that I believe that we can relate to them. We can certainly relate to them. The people had a mind to work. Much of what has been in our country has been broken down. The walls are crumbling. Not only physically, if you will, but also spiritually in our nation. I think about what it must have been like for these guys. They got the word. They got the word that there was a need. There was a great need. And it was there. And Nehemiah couldn't do the work by himself. So he got others involved. There's a lot of lessons we can glean out of this. What can we glean from it? And for the next few moments, let's look at some things that we can glean from it. Over in Nehemiah chapter 1, when he got the word and when he realized what needed to be done, what did he start with? In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God, before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Any work that's done for the Lord must be done with prayer, prayer and fasting. Something that we forget about sometimes. Far too often we forget about prayer. It's like, almost like going out on a long drive and forgetting to put gas in your car. You won't get very far without it. You might get a few miles, but eventually you'll run out. Notice his prayer here. It was not a selfish, give me this or give me that. It was a prayer of confession. It was a prayer of where he wept and he mourned for the sins. Confession, personal and national sins. Oh, beloved. He was concerned for himself, for his family, for his nation, and what had been broken down and what needed to be built back up. But he understood that there were spiritual problems that needed to be addressed. And he didn't need it, or he knew it wouldn't be fixed without the Lord. And so he went to the Lord first. But you know, it doesn't stop with prayer. Some people pray about something and they'll pray and pray and pray, and then they'll wonder, well, why hasn't it been done? He didn't get on his knees and pray and say, well, Lord, fix this wall. Because the wall couldn't be fixed without work. And so the people had a mind to work. They prayed, but they worked too. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 16 through 23, when we're doing the Lord's work, and we need prayer, but we also must understand that it's not easy. It's not easy. In Nehemiah 4, in verse 16, and going down to verse 23. Well, let's start with verse 15. He says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held his weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. He that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. And we are separated upon the wall, one from the other, one from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at this same time, said I to the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem. And in that night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. These men worked, and they spent time, energy, and there was a great cost involved. They were spending and being spent for the Lord. And we see them as they were having their hands on their weapons and their hands in the work. We see the sovereignty of God as they trusted the Lord. In verse 20, he says, our God shall fight for us. But we also see human responsibility as they understood that they had things that they needed to do to make sure. We think of things like the hurricane that come. And we know the Lord protects and the Lord provides, but we also know that we have to prepare and get ready. Someone says, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, why do you lock your door at night? Well, because I also believe in the depravity of man. But I also believe in human responsibility, right? You see, these things go hand in hand. We see that here in passages like this. As they labored and worked, as they grabbed a weapon. I believe God's protection on me and my family. But I also have guns and firearms. Knives and swords and all that sort of thing. Why? Because God has given us these things. As we work in the Lord, as we live our lives day to day, it's not easy living in this world. But it is important that we carry on. We carry on as they did. As they did. They lived in some dangerous times. We live in some dangerous times. But the work must go on. The work must go on. It is important work. In verse 19, he says, the work is great. He said that to the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people. It doesn't matter, folks, where you're at in life. It doesn't matter what kind of work you do for the Lord. If you're doing work for the Lord, the work is important. You see? Can you imagine what kind of a mess it would have been if the nobles would have been mad that everybody else wasn't a noble? Or if everybody else was mad that they weren't nobles, right? If the people who were trimming the grass were upset that they weren't laying the brick, the bricklayers were mad because everybody else wasn't helping them lay the brick. You understand what I'm saying here? Everybody working together in the work of the Lord is a great thing. We all have a piece of it. We all have a piece of it. And when everybody works together, things go very smoothly. It's that way when you're building a wall, like Nehemiah was doing. It's that way when we operate as a church. It's that way whenever we're thinking about operating at home. Not everybody can be in the kitchen all at the same time. Not everybody can be the husband. Not everybody can be the wife. Everybody complements each other, you see. But everybody who is working for the Lord has a great work to do. And it's important. It's important. Recently, I was thinking about this. Isaiah and I were helping clean up an old cemetery up near Darien. It's an old cemetery that had been run down, almost forgotten about. There's not even a sign to get back there to it. But there's some significant graves back there. You know, everybody's grave at some point is significant up until there comes a time that you're forgotten. But these folks that were in that graveyard, going all the way back to the Revolutionary era, War of 1812, and then even to some Confederate soldiers. And it had been all growed up. The fence was broken down and everything. There's a lot of weed eating and trimming, raking leaves and all that sort of thing going on there. And it's just a small piece, but it's a lot of work that goes into that sort of thing. But everybody has a little bit of work to do. Or everybody has a lot of work to do, depending on how big the project is. But the work may be different. Someone might be raking. Someone might be trying to fix the fence. Someone might be trying to repair a grave, tombstone, whatever. But everybody working together can get it all done. But if everybody's hovering over the same little project, or if everybody's mad because someone's not doing the same thing that I'm doing, then that could be a problem. Everybody's work is great. It's important. No matter how small or insignificant it may seem. God is pleased with whatever you're doing, if you're doing it for the Lord. If that's what you can do. Nothing is too small or insignificant in the work of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, something else that we can find in the work of the Lord, as we have a mind to work. He says there we read this a while ago, but we'll read it again. It says, "Now, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He took great indignation, mocked the Jews, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.' There will be those who mock and make fun of what you're doing. If you do something for the Lord, I guarantee it, whatever it is, whether it's big or small, whether you think it's a great work or whether you think it's a small work, whatever it is, don't expect for the world to come behind and to praise you for it. Don't expect the applause of the world. They will make fun of you. They will laugh at you. They will try to discourage you. Here they were trying to build a wall, trying to rebuild a wall that had broken down. And what did they get called? They got called out and they said, well, it's going to fall down. It's going to, if a fox climbs up there, it's going to knock it down. To put it in terms of today, they were called wimps. They were called weird. They were called crazy. They were told they didn't know what they were doing. Amateurs. And all sorts of things. Hey, listen. Professionals built the Titanic. Amateurs built the Ark. Okay? When God's in it, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the so-called experts say. And God was in this thing. Whatever the world says, people will laugh, mock, make fun of you and your Bible, your beliefs, your work. But don't worry about none of that, because it's not my work, it's not your work, it's the Lord's work. Don't take it personal. I know it's hard. I know it's hard because the flesh likes to hear people say good things about what we're doing. The flesh likes the praise. The flesh likes to hear the applause of man. But we may as well forget that when we're doing the Lord's work. If you go into the New Testament, we won't go there right now, but understand something. When Jesus did the most important work that was ever needed in this world, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was spit on. But yet, he continued on with the work that needed to be done. And went on to that cross and died for the sins of his people. So we ought not to be surprised when people ridicule us, when they make fun of us. Along with that, there will be opposition. Sometimes internal opposition even. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Opposition will come. Sometimes it'll come from the outside. Sometimes it'll come from the inside. But however way it comes, opposition will come. Opposition and distractions will come. Verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. We've got to set a watch. We've got to guard against that. We've got to carry on the work of the Lord. to have that mind. They started out. The wall has fallen down. It must be rebuilt. You see. Not only will there be opposition sometimes, but and along with distractions in Nehemiah chapter 6, look here in verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. The enemies of the Lord and the Lord's word kept saying, hey, come down, come. Let's meet over here. Nehemiah said, no, I've got work to do. I've got things going on. There's going to be distractions. And let me tell you, when you're doing the Lord's work, there will be distractions. There's going to be distractions. Some of these distractions might be unintentional. But sometimes these distractions can be intentional. The devil loves for God's people to get sidetracked. You ever notice that it seems like when you sit down to read your Bible, that's when you get distracted. At least it is for me. Seems like that's when this thing goes off the most. That's when there's more people wanting your attention, more things needing your attention, more unnecessary arguments or activities happening. And so you say, well, I'll come back to this. And then before you know it, it's time to move on to something else in the calendar or something. And then it's bedtime. And then you think, well, wait a minute. I never got to the reading of the Bible. Well, tomorrow then. And then tomorrow started all over. And then the same thing happens. And then the next day and the next day. And the devil's good at getting believers so busy that distractions will come up. Nehemiah said, no, I can't come down. I've got this. This is in my calendar. The Lord's work is in my calendar. I can't move it. Well, we running out of time here, but so we kind of go on to the chapter 7. Verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when the wall was built, I set up the doors. The porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. Well, I stand by and let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his city. And then, so he gathered the people. And then, as you get to chapter 8, check this out. And I love this. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, both the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and women, those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattithiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Melchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened a book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he stood, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, and great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Benai, and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbethai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. The people stood in their place, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. The wall was important to build, but what was really important here is that the word of God was proclaimed once again, and the people were there to hear it, that it was proclaimed in a way that they could understand. What a blessing that was, that the people had a mind to work, to get that rebuilt, to get that done, to get that accomplished. There's a lot more that could be said from this book, of course, not nearly exhausted, but What a great thing that we find there in Nehemiah, from Nehemiah and Ezra. Those men, many of them not even, perhaps even named, but they were willing to work, to do something that needed to be done in some dangerous times, to rebuild not only the physical work, but the spiritual work that needed to happen. May God help us to rebuild what's been lost in our time as well.